We're going to go on a short journey to Luke chapter 4. And if you remember that in chapter 3, John the Baptist prepares the way. And Jesus was also baptized, etc., etc., in verse 21 on. So now we go to chapter 4, and I'd like to kind of make you aware of something that I think might be helpful. Whenever you take on the responsibility to do something that is God's perfect plan, there's going to be some responses in the heavens, not always from the Lord. The enemy does show up. Certainly he has to get God's permission, but it is definitely God. Verse 1 says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. Led by the Holy Spirit, if you want to stretch it, because that's really what it is, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Well, common sense. Okay? The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Now, I have put a nice big circle around the word if. Because that's the accuser, isn't it? Did Jesus respond to him with his question? He could have responded, I just heard from my Father, because if you go back in chapter 3, the Father speaks, right? This is my what? You are my Son. All right? Verse 22. Amen? Now, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. Well, how come he didn't respond with that word? He didn't have to, for any good reason. I think he would have been advertising his sonship. Yeah, all right, okay. What else? Catches to the kids. Na, 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 na. You know. Boasting. But he doesn't do that. Jesus answered, it is written. Now, why did Jesus respond with it is written? If it wasn't important. It's not the particular words that he uses. It's to recognize it is written. I think more than important than anything else, you can respond to the enemy what is written about you. And once you get that pattern established in your own heart, it is written. So bug off the case. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me and made me free from guilt. Wow. Do you know how long that took for me to finally believe it? I went from levels of believing, levels of acceptance, and then one day it finally went into my heart. And what am I saying this to you for? Because sometimes it takes, I believe, a sovereign act of grace from God for us to really believe that he really has set us free and we not pay for all the junk we've done. And once that truth becomes a reality in us, it is a big, big help. Now, verse 5 says, the devil led him up a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. Now, why would the devil show him the kingdoms of the world. Yeah. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. For it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. What an intense program. Wouldn't the enemy try to make you act ahead of schedule on anything that he can? It was to be his. I believe the Lord Jesus knew that it would eventually be his if he obeyed the Father. But he could, you know, kind of give credibility here to old Scratch if he just bowed his knee and did a quick act. The only thing is, he would have been high treason. So, I believe that, you know, sometimes we can take a lesson from this because it says we will be tempted. And sometimes we don't like that idea, but it is of the Lord to be tempted. It's the Holy Spirit that brought him to this place so that he could test him. And I could show you, there's a scripture, I believe it's in Corinthians, every son is going to be tempted in order to be tested to make sure that we are sons. Okay? To whom much is given, much is, yeah, and it's required. Now, does that mean that you are going to be able to do this on your own, under your own steam? Uh-uh. I tried. I tried to make me holy, and all I did was get full of holes. Didn't work. Verse 8. Jesus answered, it is written. Again, notice it is written because he has knowledge of what is written about himself and about whom he's to bow to. Earlier tonight, my sister said that she made a mistake. She bowed to the wrong voice. And it sounded like a good idea to defend. How many have ever had a defense idea? And it was a real good idea to satisfy the moment. I've done it. Don't want to tell you how many times. I'm better at it than I was. I'm not complete yet. I'm on my way. The journey is in process. Jesus again says, worship the Lord, your God, and serve him only. So now, you might think that he'd be satisfied. Everything is established in 2 or 3. So guess what? He comes again. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are, you know, whenever you get a temptation, it's always going to be a question. Almost, you know, so that you can make the final decision. Is he the Son of God? Yes, he is. His father just told him. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Was it God's will for Jesus to be received as Messiah in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago? To the people? No. He actually, the Father, made sure that they didn't comprehend that he was. Otherwise, the purpose of the crucifixion would have never come across. If they really had accepted him, he had to be Messiah, which was the king, but he also had to be what else? He had to be the Lamb of God that was slain for the sin and the restoration. So he had to have both corners covered. And this would have bypassed if he would have jumped out and the angels would have just let him land on a nice soft pad in the middle of downtown Jerusalem. Okay? All the hierarchy would have seen this as a sign. Yay, the king is finally here. Right? Hail the Son of David. He would have never been the lamb. Learning who he was, a little piece at a time, was really God's revelation of his Son, even to Satan. And I believe when you look at this word, Satan knew he was the Son, but he didn't comprehend what that sonship meant. He didn't understand the fullness of the plan of the Father, which was hidden from him and from the people. So, you know, there are times that you will find that there are things that are hidden from some people, and it's for a reason. Pete and I talked about a little bit of this last night, and I was sharing with him when I finally realized this particular truth. Because this truth for downtown Jerusalem is still operating today. And I learned that when I had my knee surgery. And I was telling Pete, I had a gentleman friend that had come to visit with me, and a lady from Northampton, and they had come to spend a couple of hours. And we were sitting in my family room downstairs, and we were talking about the things of the Lord and the callings in his life and what God had done with him. And he was revealing that, you know, this lady was also a piece to the puzzle. She was also anointed of the Lord to do a commission work. She was an intercessor for the city. And she was hidden from the public eye, if you wish. But she was an anointed lady. And the three of us are communicating about how and what's happening, and they were concerned about how my injury was coming along and so on. And they had prayed for me before, and they were still, you know, but I was recovering and I was doing fine. And we were talking about all the things of the kingdom. There was a knock on the door, and it was one of my relatives and a lady about 40 at the time or so, came in and sat on the edge of the couch opposite from the lady, not leaning back now, just on the edge, like a child with the, you know, right in the forefront. And I introduced her to my two friends, and my two friends and I began to continue our conversation. What do you think happened to this woman? She fell sound asleep. Like a statue sitting on the edge of the couch. Did not lean, did not move, did not lean back, stayed right smack on the edge of the couch and slept for 2 hours. Never moved. We kept our conversation going, and I said to my friend, I said, educate me. This is quite fascinating. He said, for some, is it ordained for them to hear? For others, it's not. Oh, that's cool. He said, the Lord has put her soul to sleep so that she'll have no memory of our conversation. But her spirit man is capable of handling it all. When I reflected on that, I said, okay. All of a sudden, she woke up. She says, oh my God, look at this. I didn't realize I'm going to be late for my next appointment. And out the door she went. I gave her a hug, and she left. She had a two-hour visit, and she really wasn't there. Can God keep a secret? Can he keep someone from gaining wisdom that they're not ready for, or that they're not ordained to receive? That's hard to digest, because we have this, oh, but God loved the whole world. If she would have went around giving that kind of information, do you know what? She would have been mocked. First of all, she would have interfered in what God was trying to do with me and with the gentleman. And we would have never completed our conversation, because we would have probably went into another subject matter. But God sovereignly just put her to sleep. So don't underestimate. Now, there are times that we have services here. And did you ever notice sometimes there's an anointing that comes and some just go off somewhere? The body just rests. And the spirit person can receive. Now, they may not have understood with their minds, but they understood with their spirit. And this wonderful person was actually fed inner knowledge by the spirit. The mind was just at rest. And down the road, he may reveal that information to her. That's not up to me. That's up to her. You ever go to a service and not be able to keep your eyes open? I can remember some services that I just, oh man, work and do anything. I remember biting my own lips to keep myself awake. I wasn't preaching. But I'm serious. I mean, the anointing would come, and it was a message that I needed to hear, and my brain wanted to go tilt. So it's not, I'm not picking on any person. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just saying it's a reality. And you need to be up on that and having knowledge of it. Okay? Now, let's go back to the word. Did you misbehave over there? Okay. Verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. He will command his angels. By the way, he's quoting scripture, isn't he? Concerning you, to guard you carefully, they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone, which is actually Psalms 91. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. I love this part because Jesus is still speaking as a man, okay? And he's telling the enemy, I'm your God. Pretty cool, isn't it? When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. The Amplified, I think, says more opportune time. You know, a better opportunity. Now, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside, and he taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood, and I would like to make sure that you write down that as was his custom. So he's accustomed to reading in the synagogue. He's accustomed to releasing the word. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, that means he was declaring to be what he was, the Messiah. He had made it very clear. And watch the response when you're going to be bold enough to speak who you are. When you speak who you really are in Christ, just get ready, because some of this may happen to you. Verse 22. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.'" So now he's got a reputation. And he knows that they haven't spoken to him about it yet. So he's confronting. Right? "I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, and when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian, which was not their friends." The Sidonese, the Syrians, those were what? Dogs. And yet God would choose to heal two outsiders because their own people, or his own people, couldn't receive it. Verse 28 says, "All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this." Why? Yeah. He spelled it out. How many of you have ever tried to speak who you are in Christ? Do you think he did this because it was a good idea? I'm glad you shook your head no. Because I could take you to John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30, where he only would speak what his father told him to speak. So he had a commission. It was time to open up. It was time to set the record straight. All the people in the synagogues were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. You remember that cliff? Yeah. Yeah. Now, when you think of it, you see our son, the firstborn son, is not afraid to speak the truth. But he does it in obedience to the Father. Not to show off, not to advertise who he thinks he is or what he knows he is, because it's not a matter of what he thinks anymore. He knows, and he's confirmed it. And the enemy actually came over and confirmed it. If you are the Son of God, right? If you are the woman of God, if you are the man of God, will you be persecuted when you realize that you are? Can you handle it? We should be. Will we try to defend ourselves? That's right. Sometimes we don't. Because instead of going back into prayer, I've heard my mouth go off in defense. I have to go back later and apologize because I blew it. Now, wait a minute. There's some giggling going on here. Uh-huh. Oh, you're forgiven, girl. Hold on a second. Just hold on a second.
Okay. A couple of years ago, when Eugene was taken to the hospital, and they had said he had a heart attack, and the doctor said he was going to do a test on him. Uh-huh. And I said, okay, and they told me what time he would go to get the test and what time he would be back in the room. So they were telling me I should, it was at Mercy, and they were telling me I could stay home until the test was over and then come down. And when I got off the phone, the devil said to me, see, he's going to die. And I said, and I turned to him, I said, shut up, get behind me. And so that I just prayed, and that went off. Then the doctor called, and I looked, and I saw that it was Mercy. And he goes, I told you he was going to die. They're calling you now. And before I answered the phone, I said, Satan, I said, shut up. I rebuke it. I said, wait a minute, why am I talking to you? Before I pick up the phone. And I talked to the doctor, and he was fine. They said he could have, they were discharging him the next day, uh-huh. You know. So, but he tries to put fear in me to let me think something different was going to come out of the test, you know.
And to create fear and doubt.
Yeah. To have me worry and get all upset, you know. And it wasn't so at all. So he does that. He tries every little thing to get you off track.
Yeah. Amen. Any more input? I believe the object of the lesson is to understand what's written about you. So that you can respond. It is written about me in his word. And like my sister just quoted, there are going to be times when thought patterns are going to hit. You better be careful how you respond. Having an argument with the enemy, I've done the same thing. And it just does not produce good fruit. It's better if we can put the word, it is written, and respond with what the truth is. And more than once, I've had to fight my thought patterns. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, pull down every thought and make it obedient to the anointing, to Christ. It's a learning process. I believe Jesus had practiced many, many times. And I believe that when he submitted to his mom and dad, stepfather, when he was 12 or 13, he showed us an example how to be humble, how to bow his head, how to just stay in that space of obedience with his family. Probably not always being very comfortable because he knew maybe how not to do it the fleshy way. But I'm sure that Joseph did it the way he was taught. And he expected his stepson to do it his way. And I believe Jesus did it Joseph's way just to be obedient, to honor his stepfather, to honor his mom, and to honor his heavenly father. Do you ever try to tell someone that if they do something in a certain way, it would alleviate maybe some of the pressure, some of the pain that they're going through, and you know that you know even before you actually speak one word that they're not going to receive a word. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit says, just let it go. Mm-hmm. I remember one time the Lord told me the person wasn't tired enough yet. I said, oh my God. And that was the word I heard. They're not tired enough yet. Wait a little while. When they get real tired, then they'll take the information, and then it'll be valuable to them. Now, I mean, that's what I heard, so I waited. They spun their wheels for another half hour, and then I said, may I help? At that point, it was appreciated. It's not that you may not know the answer, it's when to put the answer forward. And if the information is received, then there'll be answers that will be wonderful. Father, for those who are listening to this message, I pray able to grow rather than groan in their circumstances. We ask that you would pour out your grace upon us and upon them, that they may come into a place of victory with all the things that God is doing in their lives as well as ours. And all of God's people said, amen. And amen.